The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning. Tune is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. It's happening.
Not much, buddy. I just don't want to wait for our lives to be over.
Oh, you're talking about the music being played here at the D? Who sings this?
I have no idea.
Yeah, this I would not know. You probably could hear it in the background.
Kelly, Googling.
Kelly just reciting lyrics. He'll be doing that for the next 2 hours, no matter what song is on.
That's all I'm here for.
He'll just do lyrics. By the way, I'm doing a Q2, just a little scheduling note here. I'm doing a Major League Baseball Q2 podcast with Mark Borchard right after the show for the Baseball Hardos. We'll get into first five stats. We'll get into proprietary first inning stats. For those who are into that kind of stuff, umpires and beyond, we will do it. And Mark, of course, has historical umpire odds that no one else has. So we will dive into it deep, see what is noise and what is signal with umpires as well. So beyond the normal stats that are available in terms of just overall ROI and wins and losses, who's hemorrhaging money for folks.
That would be the great Paula Cole Band, by the way.
Paula Cole, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Well known from the Dawson's Creek song.
I wasn't a big... Was that a CW thing? Dawson's Creek? I wasn't a big CW
guy. Did it originate on CW?
Or the WB. One of those two,
oh,
right?
Good call.
Yeah, one of those two. Thank you very much. I've done all I can. We also, tomorrow, Kelly and I will be here for July 4th. And Crack will be here as well.
Yeah, it should
be pointed out. Crack's not going anywhere. So we're doing a full show tomorrow, unscripted with the Crack Man, July 4 style.
I was very glad I ran into one of the pit bosses downstairs who they thought we were not going to be here tomorrow. Oh. So I don't know if there was some party planned up here or something. We might be in the middle of it tomorrow.
Nah, man, we're here. By the way, can we start on the show today? I should mention Will Hill will join us, give all his plays that he's currently on. Jake Hahn will be here, not to talk hockey with us, but to talk golf and tennis. Maybe he's got some Wimbledon winners. I certainly don't, Kelly. Remember those? Remember all those hard court winnings I had? Yeah. Poof. Grass. That the futures look great.
Yeah, I was going to say, the futures portfolio looks nice.
Match by match, not so good. Tom Byrne will be here from Mad Dog Radio to talk NBA free agency. That's Kelly's favorite subject in the world. Jason Weingarten back on camera today, I'm told.
Ooh.
Big return on camera. Looking forward to that. We want to start today, or at least I do, with a correction. Not a correction, but a clarification of something we did yesterday. So Kelly, by the way, found these great, what they call drive. I want to get the wording right.
Drive for week five
on the DraftKings app. This is in the NFL section. Drive for week five. And we were going through the matchups we like. And those still apply. Love Cleveland over Pittsburgh. I love Washington over New England and those two. I should see what the prices changed to, by the way. But yesterday, certainly loved them at those prices. And one of the things we got to eventually was certain teams have buys in week number five. And I made the comment. I was like, oh, you got to factor that in because it's whatever your record is after week five. Well, turns out there's a bit of confusion here, Kelly, because, and by the way, shout out to Frank Doyle on Twitter, who was the first person to point this out to us. So you go to drive for week five, then it says most wins after five games, which is a new addition that they put in there to try to clarify. But then when you go to the matchups itself.
Yeah, it was most wins after 5 weeks.
That's right. Yes, they switched it to games now, but then the actual matchups themselves still say first 5 weeks wins match bet. So the clarification is that it's actually games.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
So there was one that involved Detroit. Detroit has a bye in week five. I like Detroit even with the bye. I obviously like them better in their matchup. I believe that was against, let me make sure who that was against. Detroit was in their matchup against
Cowboys.
Dallas. They were against Dallas, and I love Detroit at +150. And I like the tie at +250. But now I really like Detroit at +150, knowing that they get an extra game. And then it does take me off another one because there was a Dallas Philly one which we didn't get to yesterday, where Philly has the bye in week number five, and I liked the tie thinking it was weeks, but it's actually games, so I don't like that anymore. So anyway, the two that we talked about yesterday, those still apply. Anyway, if you're betting that, know, please, that it is games, even though you're getting mixed signals. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, I do have three more tennis plays today. And I hesitate to give these to you, but three more that have not happened. I am on Bianca Andreescu today. Bianca Andreescu, who won a U.S. Open so many years ago. If she is on, she should get this. She's plus 104 today. The Canadian, Bianca Andreescu, who has suffered so many injuries throughout the years. She is taking on Linda Noskova. So I'm on Andreescu, plus 104. She's right around that price right now. And then two plays in the Osaka match, just like we had last time, where we had Dion Parise. She couldn't get home as a $3 dog because she got the yips right at the end, but we did hit the over. I'm on the over again in the Osaka-Navarro match today, over 22 games in Osaka-Navarro, and I'm actually on Navarro as well at plus 123 looking for the upset. Those are the only tennis plays remaining today as we try to bounce back from a very wobbly Wimbledon beginning. Grass kills me, Kelly. Grass kills me.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Pass on grass.
It's like an anti-drug PSA.
I've always been fascinated by that. We have talked about it a couple times of just the shorter run up, right?
It's just data. Yeah, makes sense.
You don't have all the data that you have for the hard courts and even in clay.
The problem is that I clearly do not have the discipline, right, to say, wow, great hard court season, robust data, so much hard court data, it manifests so well. Clay, I would argue, is good too, typically. But grass, like, I should just bet futures in Wimbledon and go home.
Or dial back, right? Or dial back what you're betting, yeah.
Or dial back. And by the way, whenever we talk like this, by the way, usually a bounce happens. So, you know, you never know. Catch me in 3 days. I'll be like, see? That's awesome.
Grass. Also, as soon as you dial back your betting size, when you start winning everything, obviously.
It is amazing, though, how you can go through stretches where it's like every break point you get never comes through, and every break point the opponent gets always. You know, you just get in those ruts. LeBron James has signed a 2-year deal with the Lakers, Kelly.
The Lakers got their guy.
They got their man.
Yeah, two-year, $104 million maximum contract for LeBron James, his normal kind of two-year deal with the player option for the second year. He will be back with the Lakers. I don't think any huge surprise there. The only question we really had was he going to take less money for them to try to bring someone else in? But that even that was kind of a pipe dream when they were talking about it, because the amount of money less that he would have to take to bring someone of significance in would have been a huge amount of money that I don't think LeBron James was really serious ever about taking that big of a
And what was out. The note that they're working on having Bronny with a multi-year deal?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't catch that yesterday.
Too,
they had their little media day or whatever yesterday to introduce the rookies. I mean, he's gonna be G League for a year plus, I would think.
Lakers are not a thing, correct?
No, no, no.
What's their big off-season move? So, nothing, right?
No, nothing. I mean, Drew. I think Drew brought this up yesterday. I think one thing we will see this season is there is going to be. I think there are some teams in the East that will be a little bit better than they were last year, and I think there are some teams in the West, as you heard me say all the time, about how amazing that Western Conference was, how amazing that playoffs was going to be.
We all said it.
Some of those teams are going to take a step back. I mean, you're looking around it. Oklahoma City's had an amazing offseason, but you kind of knew that was coming with all the cap space they had. It's okay. Denver's lost KCP. There's a lot of questions going on with them right now. Minnesota hasn't added anybody, so that kind of the Western Conference overall, I think, will be a little bit weaker next year than it has been over the past couple years.
We thought it was going to be the greatest Western Conference playoffs ever. It turned out to be just horrible.
What a dud.
Are the Warriors doing anything here? D'Anthony Melton.
They can't either. I mean, the problem, Lakers and Warriors have the same problem. They have no money. They have no money to spend on anything.
Kyle Anderson, 3 years, $27 million, and now looking at Buddy Hield in a trade with the Sixers.
I mean, Buddy Hield would be interesting. I don't know why Philadelphia would be running to give up Buddy Hield, though, right now. I mean, Kyle Anderson, yes. Like, that's where the Lakers and Warriors are at, though. Like, when they have no money to spend, everybody's wondering what the big move the Warriors are going to try to pull is. Like, that's all the money they've got. All they can do is go out and get a guy like Kyle Anderson. Slow-mo.
So nothing to
be seen. One of the best nicknames in the NBA.
Slow-mo.
Slow-mo.
Greatest nickname ever in sports. Mike Hargrove, the human rain delay.
That is a good one.
Mike Hargrove, human radio from the 70s. You also found, I just want to say also shout out to you again, because you found the drive for week five stuff at DraftKings. You also found that now for NL and AL MVP, they have these straight matchups. Not matchups, pardon me. They have Judge against the field and Ohtani against the field.
Yep.
That's how unexciting these MVP races are right now, that you've got those two markets available. Ohtani in the NL is minus 230. No one is even close to his price in the NL market. The field is plus 180. And Aaron Judge is minus 270. Gunnar Henderson, the only person in single digits, I believe, for the Orioles that is in that market, in the standard MVP
market.
Yeah, he's
3-1.
But we've talked about this before, though, with Judge. Just, first of all, I mean, he's ridiculous. If you watch him night after night, when you start quoting Bonds-esque, like when you're showing stats where, like, the last person to do this, Barry Lamar Bonds, when you start getting into that range, you're just on a different level. And he's got the Yankees bias. I just don't. To me, there's no. I'm not betting a field on either of these.
Has the Soto drop off really occurred? Because it was only what, 3 weeks ago.
Now he's 14-1.
Yeah. So he's really fallen back?
Well, he was hurt for a spell right there. And Judge doesn't stop. And I know there's this notion that Soto is the better all-around baseball player, but it just doesn't bear out in the numbers this year. It's just sort of like, no, that doesn't apply.
So my under 42.5 home runs on Aaron Judge isn't looking so good?
Yeah, it's probably not good. Probably not going to worry about it. How's your Lukaku most goals for Belgium thing looking?
That one's dead.
Yeah.
Also, my Austria bets from yesterday.
Okay. And again, just clarifying, Belgium has no more games for you to
make. No more games for Austria either. That was a fun one, though, yesterday.
How about some Will Hill on the other side? Get his plays. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
If there would be one, it would be in the NL, just because who knows, Ohtani to DH, but I think those are properly priced, to be honest.
I do too. Will, thank you. Enjoy your 4th of July, sir.
All right.
And your 3rd of July, since you have no baseball.
Sorry for the fake bet. I apologize.
the hypothetical Clippers bet. We'll allow it. We'll allow it this one time. Jake Hahn is coming up. We got some golf. We got some tennis from him next. Numbers game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Barcanada, the barrage, here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Oh, what's his shirt is up? Butterflying again. Can't have that happen.
Is your shirt turning into a butterfly over there?
Well, it's just... It just
yeah, the but, Richard Jefferson effect.
Richard Jefferson could pull it off.
He goes low. He goes low.
How do we put this in the fashion business? A plunging collar.
Yes, that's right.
I love it. We get tweets at Benny the Book.
I wouldn't even wear a shirt if I were him. I'd just put a tie over top. Sorry. What's wrong?
Just do a J-Lo thing. Trust the glove. I'm on crutches at present. Oh, no. Sorry, trust the glove. Sitting and gambling to pass the time, I opened my computer to see Dustin Weeds on the sports page today. Could you do a segment on the women's one-day cricket internationals? England versus New Zealand? I need an edge. We gotta send the bat signal out for Dan Weston. Dan Weston could give us a... Maybe we should reach out to Dan for cricket.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask you about Dan.
All right.
Or for tennis, too.
You imagine? Well, he's not really doing tennis anymore.
Really?
Yeah,
he's just focusing on cricket.
Here's the thing about Dan Weston. Dan, who was always on our show talking tennis, and... I will just say is my biggest tennis handicapping inspiration
ever.
Like,
he's
just
great.
The greatest. It was on Betfair, Pinnacle, everything. He became a massively sought after cricket analytics guy. Mm-hmm. And so he actually works for teams. So
good for Dan.
Yeah. So I don't even know if he would be able to come on and give cricket opinions.
And to answer the tweet, we're still Gil and I are still trying to figure out how to read the scores. So
yeah, we don't even know that much. Michael Burns, hope you don't try to cut Crack's segment short tomorrow. You might have to mute his mic. Crack on the final day of democracy, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow. J.R. Boudaris, greatest sports nickname ever. Oh, because I said that the human rain delay Mike Hargrove was. He says, Bert be home by 11. That was Chris Berman. What Chris Berman used to call Bert by 11, I believe.
That's good.
Trip Tepper, for those of us who grew up in Virginia as Orioles fans, I grew up in Maryland, D.C. as an Orioles fan. I'll nominate former Oriole John Let It Be Lowenstein as another 70s, 80s elite baseball nickname. Yeah. I think that was Berman, too, wasn't it? Maybe it wasn't Berman. That one was pre-Berman. And then Judd O'Connor on tennis. He says, we go on Lloyd Harris in this service battle between him and Shelton today. I am staying away from that one because Lloyd Harris is one of these players that had a great stretch of tennis, then sort of disappeared, and now seems to be playing well again. So I want no part of that. Maybe Jake Hahn wants part of it. Jake Hahn joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's usually here to talk hockey with us, but he's all about the tennis and the golf as well. He comes to us from Toronto, Canada, the T-Dot, the Six. Sorry, it's all the nicknames I got for Toronto. What's happening, man?
Well, you hit them all for the most part. I don't think you missed any there, Gil. And I also am staying away from that match. I gave it a good look, and Harris did interest me a little bit as an underdog. But ultimately, I would need a bigger price, I think, to go against Shelton. I know Shelton struggled a little bit here recently, and the surface does set up nicely for Harris. And like you said, I mean, at one point he was a player that we'd be willing to back. Just a little too inconsistent still for my liking. So I would need that up closer, I think, to plus 150, plus 160 in that range to actually give it a play. That one would be a stay away for me as well.
All right. I just want to warn you, as you do this segment, watch out for the Velociraptor behind you, because apparently it's I hear the noises and it could be imminent. What did you land on tennis-wise today?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be a good Canadian if I didn't give you guys a Canadian play here, right? A little bit of bias included in this, but I actually do really like the number. I'm going with Bianca Andreescu.
Yes, there we go. We match.
Yeah, plus money over Linda Noskova here. Now, Noskova's a great talent, 19 years old. Looks like she's going to be a great player here for years, but not a lot of grass court experience whatsoever. She's played a little bit mixed results in the run-up to Wimbledon here. Sarah Rani in the first round, so I'm not overly impressed by that one. She actually struggled a little bit in the first set in that match. I just think Bianca's going to be able to win a lot of free points on her first serve. I do think Noskova can attack her a bit on the second serve, but I think Bianca's going to be able to win enough first serves. And look, she's a player that we can trust in these big moments on big stages. She's been here before, and she just made a grass court final a couple weeks ago in the Netherlands. So I like where her game is at, and I think getting her at plus money against a relatively inexperienced player here is a pretty good spot.
Yeah, whenever they used to have me on The Score over there in Toronto to talk before a tennis slam, they would just run through all the Canadian tennis players, right? So on the men's side, they'd be like, what do you think about Felix? What about Ogier Aliassim? What about Raonic? And then they go to Lila, and then they'd eventually get to Bianca. And every time I'd be like, well, I mean, if she would just get past these injuries, man, she could become that player she once was. Because at her best, she still can bring it, but you just don't know when it's coming these days. That's the thing. What else did you have?
Yeah, well, I'm actually going to go to another women's match here. I do have a men's play to get into as well. But another, you know, fascinating player, this time an American. I like Emma Navarro at plus money here against Naomi Osaka. Now,
bro,
Osaka was someone I was really wanting to back to come in into this tournament. And I still do really like where her game is at overall. But ultimately, I just think Navarro might be a better player right now. And you're getting her at plus 120. Now, we talk about a player that can be wild and erratic at times. That is Emma Navarro. But I think she's starting to put it together a little bit here. And Osaka's game is still a little inconsistent. It doesn't feel like she's all the way back right now at this point. So I looked at this price, and I thought it was a bit of a misprice. I think at the very least this should be priced closer to a pick'em. So plus 120 for Emma Navarro over Naomi Osaka today.
Jake, we're sharing a brain, because that's the other one I have. I also have the over in this particular match between Navarro and Osaka. Who you got on the men's side?
Well, I did this for a reason, and it's to signal my boy, the Stanimal, Stan Wawrinka. Actually, two of my favorite players of all time are going to go head-to-head. I don't know if they're actually going to be able to get this match in, because it does start a little bit later today. It might end up getting suspended due to darkness at some point. But two of my favorite players of all time, if you know me, are Stan Wawrinka and Gael Monfils. So as we know, these guys are on the tail end of their careers, the back nine, probably the last couple holes of their tennis career. So I just love the fact that they're still playing and I can still watch them. I understand they're not factoring into an outright perspective in these types of tournaments anymore. But I actually do like Stan to make this a match against Gael. Now, Gael's actually played quite well the last couple of weeks on grass. I think he's getting overpriced based on beating a good grass court player in Mannarino in the first round. Mannarino just did not look himself in that match whatsoever. So I'm not reading too much into that. Stan won a couple rounds at Wimbledon last year. He actually lost to Novak in the third round. So he does seem to still step up in these slams and at least able to win a couple of matches and, you know, kind of work his way into the tournament. So I'm going plus 3.5 games for Wawrinka here, maybe a small sprinkle on the money line as well. I think he's going to be able to take a set or two and really push push Monfils. So I'm going with my boy Stan the Man.
Kelly, here's a trivia question for you. Who is the only player on the men's tour that won not only one slam during the Federer-Nadal-Djokovic domination years, and throw Andy Murray in there as well, who's the only player that won more than one slam during that period?
And I saw at the Delray Beach Open, Stan Wawrinka.
Stan Wawrinka, Aussie in 2014, French in 2015, and the U.S. Open in 2016. Stan Wawrinka, great thick hair, also known for that in the on the tour. John Deere Classic. By the way, Gael Monfils, also just one of the more exciting tennis players through the years as well. John Deere Classic, where did you land here as we approach the Open Championship later this month?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, Gil. This was a tough board to go through. I have had some success recently, and I'm thankful for that. I hit Bryson at the U.S. Open. I hit Cam Davis last week. I had my Tom Kim ticket go down in a playoff to Scottie Scheffler in the weeks in between. So I've been on a pretty good run here, but I kind of looked at this board and thought I might have to get the dart out and just close my eyes and see what happens, because it is one of these birdie fest putting contest type tournaments. I actually landed on a guy that won here a couple of years ago that I was on when he won, so maybe it's just more of a good vibes type play. But JT Poston down at 35-1, not in the greatest form coming in. I think that's why you're getting the number that you're getting, and you know, not something in that 20-25 range. But I think a real solid number on Poston, a guy that does have good vibes on this course, can get hot with the putter, and that's sort of what we're looking for here. So I'm going with JT Poston at 35-1. I grabbed Seamus Power at 60-1 as well, guys. Someone that, you know, a very talented player a couple years ago, kind of went away. I wouldn't want to say he's all the way back at this point, but he's shown some signs of progress over the course of this year. I kind of like where Seamus Power's game is at, and another guy that can go and win a birdie fest and, you know, something around that 20 under range. So those are two guys I looked at. And then I think you can make a bombs pack of just young gun players in this field. Neil Shipley, who just turned pro, this kid looks good. I think he's legit. So if you can find something close to triple digits on him, maybe with an each way, I would roll with that. Jake Knapp, not necessarily a young gun, but a guy that's young, at least in terms of being on tour. I think he's an interesting play. And Thor Bjornsson as well, another great young player down there close to triple digits. I think that's the move this week, guys. Take some bombs and hope and pray that you get the hot putter.
Kelly's going to talk John Deere Classic a little later on the show. Before you go, Jake, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, because everybody does this after the NFL and NBA drafts, who won the NHL draft in your opinion?
Well, I think a lot of people are really more concerned about who won NHL free agency on July 1st, and everyone rushing to bet the Nashville Predators. I don't know if you've seen if you've caught the line movement, but their price has basically been cut in half based on what they did in free agency, going out and getting Stamkos and a bunch of other players as well. So I think it was a little too steep. Now I'm looking at the Preds number and going, okay, we need to maybe pump the brakes a little bit and let that thing come back. But a lot of people heavy on the Nashville Predators, at least in these early days in the offseason.
All right. I like it. Jake, I know you don't celebrate July 4th up there, but, you know, enjoy it nonetheless.
Happy Canada Day.
Celebrate, guys. I'm always looking for a reason to celebrate.
Happy Canada Day.
A couple days ago, I believe.
Yeah, I believe you're a little late on that, but happy Canada Day nonetheless there, Jake. Thank you, Jake Hahn, everybody. We'll come back. Season wins of the NFL next.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Sorry, Gil, I was trying to multitask right there. You okay? You're right. It was a traumatizing thing. You just texted me.
No, we were just having it was a follow up to the on the break conversation.
Anyway, you take us in YouTube TV, Game Plus, iHeartRadio. We appreciate it. Skill Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin. It's hour number two here at a numbers game. Still to come, we will talk John Deere Classic. Kelly's got some thoughts. The Open Championship still 2 weeks away. So looking forward to golf's last major, but we got John Deere this week. Jason Weingarten will join us. We will talk NFL fewest wins, since whenever we talk NFL, it sort of whets our appetite. So we're anxious to talk that. But first, let's talk some NBA free agency and see if the needle has moved betting-wise with Tom Byrne from Mad Dog Sports Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at 1. That's the number 1, Tom Byrne. Byrne spelled B-Y-R-N-E. Joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Tom?
Doing very well, gentlemen. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You were saying off air that I didn't really get the gist of this. I screwed you somehow. What did I do?
Yeah. So here's what happens, and this is a true story. So I catch wind of this new market. Hey, most wins in June. So I'm looking. All right, let me look into this. You know, Caesars in my state offers it. I see Houston. My model loves it. All power ratings did, right? Even though they had stunk up the joint until then. I look. I see 24-1 on Caesars. Now, typically, if this is an overnight market, I would have jumped on that because, you know, how our brains work. Oh, I got to get this before it moves. But for whatever reason, I'll get back to it in the morning. Next morning, I'm going through the channel, SiriusXM. I get to eventually you guys because I'm still listening to you guys, even though you're no longer with us. But I still listen. It's quality program. And anyway, I tend to go back to the beginning of the hour. You know how you could push that arrow button over?
Yes, sir.
And so I'm about, I don't know, I'm a little behind, long story short. And I hear you say, well, I'm going to give away my pick for most wins of June. I said, oh, this will be interesting. You come back. You take the Astros.
This will be interesting.
So I think, oh, shoot. I open up the app. 24-1 is down to 15-1. And then later, it got back to 18-1. But, of course, God forbid, I can't take a number at 18-1 when I knew it. At one point, it was 24-1. I stay off it. You know how it ends. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Damn, was I hurting.
You know what, though? That you just hit on something that comes up all the time, which is, well, you know, it was 24-1. So it is against my DNA, you know, my DNA right. To possibly bet it at 18-1. I think we probably go too far on that sometimes.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%, of course. I felt like, you know, such a mush at that final week and even the Mets series especially. I found myself rooting against the play. I felt bad. I rooted against you guys. But, of course, you know how your brain works.
Yeah.
You wanted an excuse. But 100%, I should have taken it 18-1.
Well, Tom, I apologize deeply, and I'm sorry we got off to this start. Well, did you do July? Did you bet anything in July?
I did not, actually. I know you have Kansas City. You know, they don't play enough games for me. I wanted to, you know, Arizona's got way too tough a schedule, even though I feel like they're due for positive regression, but I did not take anybody this month.
Okay.
I'm still hurt.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Okay, let's talk NBA then. We can be friends on the NBA. Paul George may be the biggest headliner move, I guess. What's for you, what has been the most impactful, either that one or beyond?
Yeah, the Paul George move is the most impactful. Now, does it make you open up your app and immediately run to play the Sixers? No, for a number of reasons. Number one, the obvious. Joel Embiid is never healthy. Nobody knows better than me. I'm in this town. I mean, bottom line is, he is as good a player in terms of impact and winner that I have ever seen with my own eyes. I mean, he impacts winning more than AI did in my estimation, more than Charles Barkley, and I saw him. I was young. I mean, the guy's great, but he's never the best version of himself in the postseason. And now you bring in Paul George, who has similar issues. Now, he played a lot of games last year, but I think if you go back and look, he only played on average 50-something games in his time with the Clippers. And so, you tell me, are you going to trust this team? I don't know that you can. Certainly, they have a higher ceiling now. I agree with the numbers being moved in the manner they were, but certainly the value's gone now. So I didn't play anything. I mean, there were some interesting moves. I do like Oklahoma City a lot. I would have liked them anyway, but, I mean, I think the market's correct there, too. So, you know, I hate to be boring, but I don't know that this free agency period compelled me to do much of anything yet.
All right, well, let me ask this a different way, specifically on the top of the Eastern Conference. If Boston is your number one, in your opinion, what follows in what order between Milwaukee, the Sixers, and, of course, the Knicks, who now are mimicking Villanova of glory years past?
Right. It's the strangest thing for somebody where I am, where you rooted forever for Villanova, obviously, and now they're all playing. They have a banner in your gym. And now they're all playing for the team that you grew up loving to hate. It's a weird thing going on in the Northeast, Gil. You would know a little something about that from D.C. But, you know, bottom line is, I think the Philly-New York thing's fascinating. I'd love to get a head-to-head market there. I don't know if anybody will actually take a bet on it. But because we know Boston should win the Atlantic. But which do you trust most, New York or Philly? I think any power rating, you know, if you look at Darko plus-minus, estimated plus-minus, old-school box plus-minus, whatever metric you want to use, they're all going to tell you if you estimate your minutes properly, that Philadelphia is the better basketball team. But what you can't quantify is the fit, the culture that New York now has. We don't know about the fit. You think it'd be good. Paul George isn't a ball hog by any stretch. You think it'd be all right at Philly, but you don't know. And also the injury factor. Now, you might argue Thibodeau's going to play these guys in the ground. Maybe they get injured too. And that's lesser of a risk to me than Philadelphia. And so I think the New York-Philadelphia thing is fascinating. New York's going to play every game like their last. Philly's probably going to miss its best two players for long stretches. I would be interested in that market. But in terms of ceiling, to answer your question, Boston by a long shot still, and I was on that last year. Philly, close, New York, and Milwaukee four. I'm still wondering if Dame Lillard's thinking about making a move, but I guess not. We would have heard by now.
Is there anything else that could happen in free agency that would move the needle for you? Is there anything you anticipate that means anything?
You know what, Gil? I don't think so. I've been trying to get to the bottom of that myself on my show. I've had many guests from NBA Radio and beyond that would have a pretty good inclination, reporters, and nobody seems to think there's going to be a big move on the horizon. That's why I mentioned Dame. He couldn't wait to tell us how bored stiff he was all last year. He had some personal issues with missing his children. I thought maybe he'd have a little something out of Milwaukee, all quiet on that front. And it's debatable how much a needle mover he really is at this point. So, you know, seeing where we are now, I don't know. It's not going to be one of those off seasons where you get an awful lot of fireworks from the NBA. But we did sort of see this coming.
Is there a team? Let's do it this way. I'm looking for a betting nugget of some kind. We all know the NBA is historically top heavy, so it's always tough. But
yeah.
Is there a team either East or West? I'm guessing it's got to be West because East is tough. But is there a team East or West where you're like, okay, this is a team that most people don't have necessarily on their radar as a team that could get to, say, a conference final? Let's do it that way. But you think they actually, if things broke their way, might have a shot?
I'll give you Memphis. What's their number? I'd have to look that. The reason I give you Memphis should be fairly obvious, but I think people have forgotten who and I know he's not somebody people want to wave pom-poms for at the moment for a number of reasons, but John Morant can still play. I mean, this kid is as bouncy as anybody. He's a tremendous finisher. He should become a little bit more efficient in theory as his career progresses. Plus, I love Desmond Bane's ability to shoot the basketball, and Jaren Jackson Jr., I like an awful lot for Memphis. And so, you know, it's an interesting pick with Edie. Obviously, in the pick-and-roll situation, you might be eating alive sometimes defensively, but I didn't have a big issue with him going nine, believe it or not. I know that caught some people off guard. I think Memphis has kind of been lost in the shuffle. Everybody loves Minnesota, Oklahoma City. I love OKC myself. You know, we're going to talk about the Currys, even though they're no longer even all that relevant. We're going to talk about the Lakers. I mean, you know what we're going to do. But don't lose sight of Memphis. New Orleans made a nice deal with DeJounte Murray. Let me get a look at some of these Memphis numbers. I think they're going to have an excellent season.
I'm like, the Currys. Oh, the Currys. I see. I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, 40-1 on Memphis to win it all right now and 15 to win the Western Conference.
Oh, that's not good enough. Not the 15.
Currys being the Golden State Warriors, that's all they have left now, Steph. That's a pretty darn good piece. One of the greatest of all time. But they're done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it was officially done when Klay left. Like, that is poor out of 40 time.
Yeah.
Let me, in our final 2 minutes here, obviously, Victor Wembanyama looms as what he should have won Defensive Player of the Year, in my opinion, last year. I think in a lot of people's opinions, he may win 10 of them. Is there a number you wouldn't bet on him for that market? And then would you take a flyer on him for actual MVP?
Yeah, right now, if you could get north of 35-1, I think everything is closer to between 25 and 30 last I checked. I think Wembanyama would be worth a shot. And listen, I was one of these guys last year that was like pump the brakes a little bit. And then the second half of the season occurred and the dude was just next level. So if they surround him properly, and I guess Chris Paul, this version is, a good upgrade to an extent just because of his veteran leadership, we shall see. But I do think the Wemby market's interesting. And no, to answer your question, there's probably not a market I wouldn't bet. Defensive Player of the Year should be his because I think there's been so much scuttlebutt now, and you're talking about human beings who vote for this sort of thing that are, you know, asked a million times why they didn't vote for Victor Wembanyama. I could definitely see him winning that market. By the way, you mentioned Klay Thompson. You know, Klay Thompson going to Dallas. I'd be careful. I've had some people, well, Dallas, is Dallas any better with this version of Klay Thompson, Gil? Nobody's seen him more than you. I don't think so.
I don't know. I'd love to see him have one last flourish of greatness. I mean, he had flashes, right, in his last year, too. Like, there were moments. But, yeah, he's a diminished version, for sure. Let me close with this, Tom. The team that you hear betters on a perennial basis, and maybe even heading into next year, they'll do the same. The team that you hear a consensus amount of bettors just love on a year-to-year basis that you just absolutely are driven crazy by, what is that team and what might be that team coming to this year?
That's a good question. I guess to an extent, you know, love relative, I guess, a term there. But I know people, the Clippers, right, because of Kawhi, because of Paul George, you know, Russell Westbrook's a name. I know everybody who really paid attention had their concerns about availability, number one. But, you know, you heard a lot about them would come to mind. But ultimately, I guess it'd be Phoenix because Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, I never bought into them at all last year. The under and everything else was in play with them all year. And to be honest, I'd have to see what the numbers are. I'd like to go back to that well, but I think the market may have caught up.
Tom, appreciate it. Great talking to you. Thanks for making the time.
Thank you, guys.
Tom Byrne, everybody, from Bad Dog. We'll come back. John Deere Classic on the other side right here in a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide. The guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for every team, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best futures bets from the VSiN experts. That includes MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year awards. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Visit VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide today. That's VSIN.com/guide. Should I Ron Burgundy threw some tweets? I'm so unprepared for tweets today. Sorry.
My favorite part is that you ask that every time. Should I do this?
That's right.
Just do it anyway.
Just do it anyway. It's like if Kelly said no, like I wouldn't.
Right, yeah.
Joe C714. Hey, Joe C714. How you doing, man? Big fan of the show, Gil. Love all your takes. Thank you. Had a question for you, as I'm a collector as well. What's the one Carlos Alcaraz card to have in the collection? Oh, we should ask Jason that. He's actually asking Jason that. Okay. I'll ask Jason. We'll get back to you on that. Collector of tennis cards wants to know what the quintessential Carlos Alcaraz card. I'll ask him that because then I'll ask him what's the quintessential Iga card to have.
There you go.
And then, like with my Barry Bonds rookies that
you
I had.
You got one, though, right? You got an Iga one.
I have an Iga one, but I don't know if it's like a rookie.
From Doug Wedge, right?
Doug Wedge got me an Iga.
I got my Colin Morikawa one from Doug Wedge. Shout out Doug Wedge.
The thing about it is, though, right, like, you know, when I was a kid, I was going to be rich by now from all of my rookie Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey's, right?
Yeah.
That didn't work out.
Yeah. That was the same thing. I know me and you were talking about it. It was like a month ago. No, it was way more. It was like 6 months ago. This big, got a knock at my door. You know, there's never a delivery guy there anymore, right? They just leave it at your door.
Yeah.
Walk outside, there's this big box just sitting out there. I'm like, what the hell is this? And I see it's from my mom. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of weird for my mom to send me a package and not tell me what it is. Open it up. It's just binders upon binders of old cards. And then, remember I showed you these like a few months
yes.
ago? And then it distracted me for like a month straight because I'd be like, okay, done with work. Like, let me go sit on the couch and go through all of these. And it was like the best ones I thought I found that, like, I'm like, oh my God, I got a Shaquille O'Neal rookie card. This has got to be worth $54. I'd be like, well, that sounds like a lot of effort.
So funny you bring this up. So Deborah Song, fashion stylist, she's moving from Toronto to San Francisco. So she says, oh, my dad has a bunch of baseball cards for him. Her dad used to own a baseball card shop or a shop that had baseball cards in it.
That's awesome.
From years and years. This is what you dream of. You're like, oh my God, this is going to be unbelievable. He had 1991 Upper Deck complete sets or whatever. Ugh. Not 89. Was Griffey 89? I believe
it
was.
I think
so 91. By the way, there's still too many Griffeys too. But the 91, and I'm like going through it. I'm like, wait, he has like from 1 to 700. Like all the good cards are between 700 and 800. So apparently he pulled all the goods. There's hockey cards. It's just nonsense. Nothing's good in there. It was just complete boondoggle.
Talk about like jobs you would never want to tell your parents when you were younger. But like when you were like 9 years old, were you not like, I can't wait to own a baseball card shop one day?
Was there anything more fun than going to a
baseball card shop? No, not at all. I could spend hours there. Hours.
Hours. So great. 3Jack H3131. Kelly is now the third person I've heard talk about Patton Kizzire this week. What could go wrong, as you say?
Let's go, Patton.
I definitely
didn't grow up on a country club.
Yeah, totally. He knows very few of my people. I grabbed 165 to 1 on Tuesday for a few bucks. All right, Patton Kizzire, let's go.
Got a better number than I did. Whoa.
Numbers guys, must watch interviews. Drew Dinsick, Crackman, and Jason Weingarten. It's good to be able to see the latter on screen. Gil, can we still bet July MLB wins in Vegas at Circa? I don't think so.
No,
I will
that
check.
That is down.
Yeah.
That is down. I did just check on that.
And Kelly, here's a question. Where to go for advice on building a golf model? Hanging up, I'll listen.
Yeah, there's a lot of great sites out there that have popped up over the past few years here. I kind of use all of them to a degree. I think all of them offer something a little bit different, but Fantasy National that Pat Mayo does is top-notch. Rick Gaiman, who's on this show from time to time when it's not too busy for us these days, big shot CBS guy.
We love you, Rick.
I love Rick. No, but he's getting a lot of work on CBS
good
these days.
Him.
He's like, he can't make time for us. But RickRunGood.com is his website where he has some stuff that you can utilize there. It's great. Data Golf's a good website. BetSports, I know, is one is Matt Brown's been using more recently. I haven't dove into their modeling stuff, but I know he really likes it. So a lot of different ones that I like to run the same things on kind of the different sites because they all have a slightly unique different things, Gil, so you get different results. So it's one of those I like to see what kind of matches across the board.
And you guys kind of aggregate the
right,
models.
Exactly, yeah.
And then finally from NH Better, after the Fezzik bets were mentioned, what book is offering in-season MLB win totals right now? Right at the moment, I don't know, but Caesars is good about putting them up a lot in adjusted season win totals in baseball.
Yeah, if not every day, you can usually find that stuff.
They're pretty frequent. NFL, fewest wins this coming NFL season.
Patriots.
Yeah. We talked about it earlier when I was talking about the season win total under on the Patriots. They are the short shot, and quite frankly, they are the justified short shot at plus 340. The question is, if let's say there's somebody out there who's like, you know what, I actually disagree. I think the Patriots are going to be better than you guys think, and I don't think they're going to have the fewest wins. If I forced you to make a bet that was not the Patriots, what bet would you make? I already know mine.
Okay. I'm glad we got into the Patriots conversation earlier because
that would be my pick.
I didn't want to jump ahead to this because I think this is the market to bet them in. Like you talked about, you brought up the point of
might as well take
preferring
the plus 3,
to 40. Bet them 0-17 than the over, which I agree with.
I'd bet them in both.
But this, I would be way quicker to bet this.
I don't
than
know
the
that
over.
I'd be way quicker because I think that 4.5 is so high that I'd like to live through that too. But I get your point.
I don't know, Gil. Like I mean, I'm not one of them, but you hear from certain people that the Panthers they expect to be better next year. Broncos. I don't think you or I is very high on that team, but I don't think I struggle to see them to being as bad as the Patriots.
I agree. I actually looked at the Broncos schedule and I'm like, okay, they're going to stink, but there's actually a few wins on there.
I mean, my answer to your question is it's the New York Football Giants.
Wow. New York Football Giants 10-1 expected to finish last in the NFC East. New York Football Giants. Do we have that schedule up here? Let me go through that schedule for you since we don't have it up. But the Giants schedule is, and again, this is the problem with, you know, this is the problem with having, you know, having to pay Daniel Jones. They didn't have to, but they did. They decided to pay Daniel Jones all that money, which again is the cruelty of the NFL economic structure. Well, I guess we'll pay him because what's the alternative? And I mean, you end up losing your best player in your secondary because of it, really? Xavier McKinney? Like, I just think, you look at this schedule, like, okay. I mean, there are wins, right?
I mean, they get the NFC South, which helps.
They get the NFC South, and, you know, some people think, okay, well, I mean, you got to factor in a split with the Commanders, right? Like, we got to give them that if we're projecting. So it is the NFC South, so there are wins. I just want to go back, and I know I am just going to let the hate wash over me for what I'm about to say.
The other one, real quick, I'll just bring up. Like, I could see the Raiders being absolutely terrible this year.
Can we show that?
The problem is the AFC West, though. Yeah. You have the Chargers and the Broncos. I don't know that I think either one of them is going to be incredibly.
Oh,
great.
I think the Chargers are going to be good this year. Yeah, I think you're selling the Chargers short. But you know, I understand you have post-traumatic stress disorder.
That's right. Remember, last year was my year to be on them. Yeah. So yeah.
But I think you're right about the Broncos being okay. Let's just say you split the Broncos games. The Raiders could stink. What are the Raiders' number for fewest wins?
They were like 11-1 on there, I think.
Yeah, that's interesting. Can we just, to amuse me, to close the show, just to amuse me, You find me amusing. Can you just throw the Steelers schedule up there one more time? I know what you're thinking. You're crazy because it's Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. I just want to throw that schedule up one more time because they're 20-1 here. 20-1. I'm just saying. If you throw up this schedule, how many wins can you really count on? All right, let's give them the Broncos at the Broncos. Even though that's elevation, Kelly, I'm just being generous. At the Raiders, sure. Then you do have a Giants and Commanders in the middle there. Okay. But, like, tell me where the weeks are that are actual, oh, no, they'll definitely win that. Telling you that there is a world where the Pittsburgh Steelers end up 4-13 this year. And I know that's going to blow, like, Mike Tomlin, doesn't happen to him. But I'm just saying, that schedule is brutality. And last I checked, it's still Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback. And so, I don't know, man. Like 20-1 on the problem is the Patriots are so bad that I don't know that this would even get home.
They're so bad. That's all I keep going back to. Oh, every other one of these teams would be interesting to me if the Patriots didn't exist.
I still think the Patriots are bad, but I'm just asking the question. If you were not allowed to bet the Patriots,
yeah, I think I'd still go Giants. Steelers though.
At 20-1, I would actually take them.
Okay.
For that possibility,
Patriots one I might shop around and add here.
Yep, I think so. Anyway, all these markets available, and we'll talk again. We'll talk last team to be undefeated, last team to be winless. We'll do all those as the weeks and months progresses towards the NFL season. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next on the radio side. Pictures, best bets. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.